KPBS On Demand is supported by Rancho La Puerta, recently voted a top wellness resort and spa by readers of Travel and Leisure magazine, provides 3, 4, and 7-night summer vacations for anyone who enjoys hiking, mindfulness, and fitness classes on 4,000 acres of nature preserve, rancholapuerta.com.
Good morning, I'm Debbie Cruz. It's Thursday, April 25th. Thousands of migrants have been released on San Diego's streets in the last 2 months. More on that next, but first, let's do the headlines. A Camp Pendleton Marine died at the base Tuesday, but the Marines are providing few details about the circumstances of the death. In a statement yesterday, the 3rd Marine Air Wing said the service member died during routine military operations on the base around 5 p.m. Tuesday. The Marine was assigned to a Camp Pendleton helicopter squadron. A spokesperson for the Air Wing tells KPBS, more information will be provided 24 hours after family notification. The construction of a new housing and mixed-use community in City Heights is underway. The City Heights Community Development Corporation and city leaders broke ground on the project yesterday. The Quattro at City Heights development will include 117 units of affordable housing, outdoor spaces, bicycle parking, on-site resident services and resources, and commercial space. According to the San Diego Union-Tribune, more than 16,000 units per year would need to be built for the City of San Diego to meet its state-mandated housing goal. Qualifying residents must have an income that falls between 30 to 60% of the area median income. The new units in City Heights are expected to be ready to move into by the fall of next year. Today is going to be the coldest and windiest day of the week. There's a wind advisory in effect in the mountain and desert areas until 11 tomorrow night. Gusts could reach up to 65 miles per hour. There's also a slight chance of light rain in the morning and again tonight in all parts of the county. The skies will be cloudy for most of the day with temperatures in the low 60s in the inland and coastal areas. In the mountains, temps will be in the high 40s, and in the deserts, it'll be in the mid-70s. Tomorrow's weather will be similar before it starts to warm up a little over the weekend. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
Hi, I'm Bill Hohen.
And I'm Ted Hohen.
Over the past 50 years, our family has brought many world-class dealerships to Carlsbad, including Mercedes-Benz, Porsche, Audi, Honda, Acura, Jaguar, and Land Rover.
That's right. This year we're celebrating 50 years in Carlsbad.
So on behalf of the entire Hohen family, we want to thank San Diego. Throughout the years, we've taken tremendous pride in meeting and even exceeding our customers' automotive needs.
We value the relationships with our clients and look forward to serving you for years to come. We invite you to visit one of the Hohen Carlsbad dealerships or hohenmotors.com.
It has been 2 months since the county closed its migrant transit center. Border reporter Gustavo Solis says, since then, Border Patrol agents have released thousands of migrants onto the streets of San Diego.
The first bus comes at 7 a.m. Every morning, 7 days a week, Border Patrol agents drop off hundreds of migrants at the Iris Avenue Transit Center in San Ysidro. And the buses just keep on coming. Every day, somewhere between 400 and 600 migrants come to San Diego. This includes people from all over the world.
De Venezuela,
de Cúcuta, Colombia,
de Ecuador.
Maria Delia Sacorando is from Guatemala. She says it was difficult to leave her adult children and grandkids back home.
Para mí triste porque dejé mis hijos, dejé mis nietos.
She owned a beauty salon for 40 years, but local gangs demanded protection payments. She had to shut it down when she could no longer afford the extortion fees.
Era demasiado y no se podía.
Sacorando has a daughter in Los Angeles, and she just needs a little help getting there. And that's the situation most migrants find themselves in. More than 90% of them plan to reunite with family and friends in other parts of the country. While they're in San Diego, they mostly need a place to charge their phones and make travel arrangements. And for the last 2 months, the only people offering help to these migrants are volunteers, mutual aid groups, and nonprofit organizations. They say that they are getting zero support from any level of government.
We're not seeing direct coordination with the county or the city of San Diego.
Pedro Rios is with American Friends Service Committee. He says elected officials have a responsibility to help migrants who have sacrificed so much to get here.
To then arrive in the U.S. and not have any type of welcoming feeling by county officials or by local officials just is unacceptable.
San Diego Mayor Todd Gloria declined to respond to these criticisms. Back in San Isidro, one of the volunteers, Catalina, has a welcome speech prepared in Spanish. She doesn't sugarcoat it. She says there's nothing for the migrants here. No bathrooms, no shelter, nowhere to charge their phones. Their best bet, she tells them, is to go to the airport. Taxis cost $75, or they can take the trolley.
La manera más directa es con los taxistas que están aquí en la esquina, cobran $75.
Catalina walks dozens of people to the Iris Avenue trolley stop. She tells them to go to Old Town, where they can take a free shuttle to the airport. And she even gives them maps, where X marks the spot.
Y se van a bajar en esta parada que se llama Old Town. En el mapa es la X, ¿ok?
Caroline Duran takes one of those maps and hops on the trolley. She says leaving Venezuela was not easy. She's going to the airport and plans to meet up with her brother in Denver.
Dejar el país no es fácil, pero también te traes una mochila pequeña llena de sueños y de esperanzas.
Catalina then walks back to help other migrants. She and other volunteers have been doing this every day for the last 2 months, ever since San Diego County's Migrant Transit Center closed because it ran out of funding. But there are signs of hope. San Diego County received $19 million from the federal government to help this migrant population. Kate Clark is with Jewish Family Service. She says it's a big increase from last year.
This federal allocation is really a victory for our region. I believe it represents a $10 million increase than what we saw last year.
Advocates want to see San Diego County working with local service providers to create a lasting migrant welcome program. Clark says organizations like hers have been doing this for years.
Would really expect that the County of San Diego convene organizations that have this expertise to help inform our region's plan and next steps.
But so far, elected officials have not reached out. County Supervisor Nora Vargas's office did not respond to a question asking why. A county spokesperson says staff are working very hard to determine the best roadmap going forward, but it's too early to say specifically how that money will be allocated. Gustavo Solis, KPBS News.
A California bill would require manufacturers to add folic acid to corn masa. Reporter Katie Heisen looked at how that might impact babies born in the county.
Fortifying food with vitamins and minerals is not new in the U.S. It started in the 1920s with iodine and salt, vitamin D and milk in the 30s. By the 90s, researchers had linked fatal neural tube defects in babies, things like spina bifida and anencephaly, to not getting enough folic acid in pregnancy. So the federal government required it to be added to cereal in 1998. It was hugely successful, reducing neural tube defects by more than a third. But it missed all the households who don't eat cereal every day. In California, Latina women continue to have the highest rate of neural tube defects. That's why legislators are proposing adding it to the masa flour used to make corn tortillas.
I think this law would really help women who don't come in to see their doctor, who have unintended pregnancies, because they're the ones that are at highest risk for having these issues.
Melissa Campos is a physician in mostly Latino San Isidro. She says less than a third of Latinas in San Diego County take prenatal vitamins before becoming pregnant. About half of her pregnant patients miscarry, she says, often because of neural tube defects. She estimates this legislation could save 40 Latino babies every year. Katie Heisen, KPBS News.
January's floods were devastating to one of San Diego's oldest Philippine dance companies. They were considering selling their National City studios and finding a new home. But now, South Bay reporter Corey Suzuki says the company has decided to stay and build back stronger instead.
For the last few months, the studios of Pawsucket have been unusually quiet. They house one of the region's oldest dance and performing arts organizations with roots in the Philippines. In January, the floodwaters that swept across San Diego also breached the studio walls, soaking the building's dance floor and ruining decades-old costumes and instruments. It was the fourth time a flood like this had hit the arts company in recent years.
We had an emergency meeting the day after, and they were fed up. Number one, it's like, okay, I can't ask people to help when this has happened before. How are they going to give money to this a fourth time?
Ana Lobao Cabato is the company's executive director. She says leadership wondered if it was time to sell their longtime studios and start looking for a new home.
We knew that we had to do something beyond just fixing it in hopes that we can appeal to the public and our supporters to say we need to do something beyond just restoration.
The board held a conversation with the Pawsucket community and debated the different paths forward. Ultimately, they decided to stay. The company is applying for a federal disaster loan, which they hope will help them rebuild stronger this time, to withstand future floods and hold on to the organization's roots. In National City, Cory Suzuki, KPBS News.
A pilot program in North County is teaching students about nutrition and where their food comes from. North County reporter Alexander Wynn says the farm-to-school program encourages kids to try vegetables they may not have tried before.
Students in Mr. Erickson's fourth grade class at Bernardo Elementary School in Escondido are learning about vegetables and how they're grown.
School gardens are better because we know what we're eating and how, like, fresh it is.
These students are part of a pilot program between Escondido Union School District and Farm to Institution Center. Paul Erickson is a teacher at Bernardo Elementary School.
We've been doing multiple lessons where we're learning about and teaching about local farms in our community, as well as some healthier choices like produce and things, just getting students engaged in farming.
Once a week for the past 5 weeks, Alexis Anderson from the Farm to Institution Center has been coming by.
Good morning, everyone.
To teach these kids more about farming and what it takes to get fresh produce to their tables.
Today we're talking about school gardens.
She says the main takeaway for the kids is learning where the food comes from. Alexander Nguyen, KPBS News.
The Day of the Child, or Dia del Niño, is on Tuesday. It's a day to celebrate and honor the well-being and rights of children. The day usually includes activities and events, and there are many ways to celebrate your child here in the county. Joining me to give us the details on some of the local events is KPBS web producer Leslie Gonzalez. Leslie, welcome to the San Diego News Now podcast.
Thank you, Debbie. I'm super glad to be here.
Day of the Child is celebrated in many countries, and there's some history behind the holiday. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, absolutely. The Day of the Child is typically celebrated worldwide on November 20th. However, it was established by the United Nations General Assembly in the 1950s, but there are different versions of the celebration around the world. In other countries such as Mexico or Colombia, it's a day that's commemorated at the end of April, typically April 30th specifically, and it's meant to honor and promote the welfare and well-being of children, and that includes their education and their mental health. And typically, in order for that to be instilled by communities all over the country, they typically set up or organize events through their schools or through their local libraries.
So I've seen the holiday called Dia de los Niños, Dia de los Libros. What's the connection there?
So Dia de los Libros, or Dia, comes hand in hand with Day of the Child through its educational significance. The celebration was recognized in the late 50s, and it's a literacy initiative that brings together the national and state libraries, organizations, educators, and the unite communities. They are often held in libraries, schools, and parks and celebrated beside Dia del Niños, which is how they come hand in hand together. And it's often celebrated April 30th.
And along those lines, a lot of events include educational activities. What are some of the events happening at local libraries?
There's going to be a lot of great activities, especially for our younger citizens. Educational activities include Dia de los Niños Fiesta with KPBS Kids. That's going to be held in the courtyard of Ote Mesa Nestor Library. And there you'll find hands-on activities that involve the San Diego Children's Museum, the local police departments, and Parks and Recreation. You'll also see music and book signings, and you'll have a story time for the kids, too. That's going to happen Friday at 10 a.m. at the Otay Mesa Nestor Library. And there's also one in Julian, the Julian Branch Library, that is hosting a Cirque Quirk, a circus performance that will have jugglers, acrobats, stilt walkers, and contortionists. And I checked out their website and I saw sword jugglers and fire breathers. So maybe kids will get lucky and see something interesting. And that'll also be held Friday at 10:30 a.m.
Any more outdoor activities you can tell us about?
So this Saturday, there are two locations that are holding outdoor events. The first one is going to be held in Oceanside at Balderrama Park. So the staff at the Oceanside Chavez Community Resource Center partnered with Eastside Neighborhood Association to host like a soiree filled with music, games, and crafts for kids. The Oceanside Police Department will show off their canine units there, and kids can experience this new climbing wall and obstacle course that they have there. The second location will be Imperial Beach, and the Imperial Beach Library is partnering with the City of Imperial Beach Parks and Rec, and they're holding fun activities at Veterans Park. The activities will include face painting and food trucks, and also a visit from the local law enforcement with fire trucks. Music will also be performed there by Hullabaloo and Ralph's World.
And what about on the actual Day of the Child? What are some of the events happening on Tuesday?
So this Tuesday, we're going to be seeing three events happening. One of them is called The Aviators. That's going to be happening at the Spring Valley Library from 1:15 to 2:15. Parents and families can experience reading books about planes and flying with pilots. And kids can also build their own airplanes and take home a free book as well. Another location will be at the Rancho Bernardo Library, and that starts at 4 p.m. It's going to be held at the Bill and Marcia Collins Community Room, and there kids can make Ojo de Dios or a paper plate rockin' llama. The event will also provide a free book for kids as well. And the last event that I have is from the Weinhardt Library, City Heights Weinhardt Library. That starts also at 4 p.m. and that ends at 5 p.m. There, families can enjoy a day full of festivities that include story time, crafting, and light refreshments will be also provided. So you don't have to worry about getting dehydrated while you're having fun with your friends and family.
Leslie, where can listeners find more information on the events we just talked about?
You can visit our website at kbbs.org and see our events list there, or you can also visit the library website at the San Diego County Library. And of course, you can always check out the KPBS Parents Hub. That's where you'll find information and resources to help you make decisions about the children under your care and support you in this adventure we call parenting.
Very good. I've been speaking with KPBS web producer Leslie Gonzalez. Leslie, thank you for joining me on the San Diego News Now podcast.
Thank you for having me.
That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. Join us again tomorrow for the day's top stories. I'm Debbie Cruz. Thanks for listening and have a great Thursday.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Rancho La Puerta. Recently voted a top wellness resort and spa by readers of Travel and Leisure magazine, provides 3-, 4-, and 7-night summer vacations for anyone who enjoys hiking, mindfulness, and fitness classes on 4,000 acres of nature preserve. RanchoLaPuerta.com.